No, because I have a lifetime of practice with caffeine and like carbonated beverages. Hello.
That's it's a thing.
Like I could drink that and go to sleep.
Well, that I get that. I regularly have done that. I used to drink coffee by the pot when I was,
Yeah.
when I was probably 18. I wasn't married yet, so I was, yeah, so I was 18, 18, 19, and working
Nine to five.
at the tractor store. It probably was 9 to 5. I'm pretty close to it. You'd go for hours without customers coming in, and then
Right.
everybody come in at once. But
Right.
you have all the stuff.
But when you have
There's only
nothing
so many
to
times that you can clean things
do,
out.
right,
So
time goes slowly.
I'm studying manuals and drinking coffee and just there by myself with a pot of coffee, just downing it like crazy, and struggling to stay awake while I'm drinking the
Yeah.
coffee. And that
Yeah.
was when I was young and well rested and all that stuff.
Ah, to be young and well rested.
Yeah.
So
So
we missed last week.
we
Big
did.
surprise. But we're here now.
We
And
are
we
mostly
are
here now, anyway.
mostly
It's
here.
physically here.
We are in
So,
the middle of a short series, a
yes.
3-week series.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of those.
No, on believing, belonging, and becoming. So if we want to cover a little bit of what we did last week before we get into this week, then that might be good.
Seems like a good plan. Yeah. So the whole idea of the series is discovering real life in Christ, and so we wanted to try and we have a membership baptism class that is kind of this, well, it's the same material in a lot of ways, that is trying to establish just a foundation of what does it mean to be in Christ, to be saved, to be a believer. And then in light of that, what are the implications of that? And one of the big parts is that we are part of a forever family. When we are united to Christ, we're united to everyone else who's united to Christ. And then thirdly, we'll talk about that this next Sunday is, so what does that mean? What now? Once I've come to Christ and received him by faith and embraced this family life that he's called us to, then what? Is that it? Is that all there is? And the Bible is pretty clear that that's the beginning. In fact, the vast majority of the New Testament is written about those and to those who have come to Christ. And now what? What do we do? What does it look like? That's actually Paul's probably I would say probably his main format, his main approach in his letters is at least in the letters to the churches, as he's writing, he starts with this doctrinal foundation. Here's the greatness of God and his grace to us and what that means. Now, in light of that, how do we live? And so that's what we'll look at next week. But this week, we can kind of talk about both the believing and belonging, because
Why not
I don't know that
both?
you can talk about one
Sure,
without the
yeah.
other, really. So anyway.
I'm shaking the table. Apologies to those watching us on video formats.
And that's just a general blanket statement. It's our apologies to anyone who's watching.
Disclaimer before
It
every
probably
show.
applies
We
to those who are
apologize.
listening as well. So
Anyway, yes.
this is the We're Sorry podcast. So
We're thinking about creating multiple shows under this,
that's
so
right.
the
Yeah.
next one is We're Sorry.
We're sorry. So sorry.
Oh, it's apologetics, but it's a
We
different
are definitely the home of
oh,
professional
of
podcasting.
apology podcasting.
So
Anyway, what's interesting about this whole series to me, is I'm not gonna remember now because these weeks feel like a blur,
word.
the idea, and you've mentioned this, and I think we've talked about it before in the podcast, the idea of the connection as a Christian to the church. And I'm not, when I talk about the church, I'm not just saying like a building. I mean the church family that you're in and finding that family and those relationships and that connection and the importance of that. And as somebody who is a little bit introverted, and has a hard
A little bit.
time doing things with people, that's something that I
Not antisocial, but maybe society averse.
There you go. It's like an allergy. Yeah, but I've struggled with that. And but at the same time, I have
Kayla just said last night, if it were up to me, we'd never go on vacation. I'd just stay home all the time.
same. Preach. But at the same time, I also have an illness where I can't say no to people when they ask me to do something. And so,
and yet I still don't have cinnamon rolls.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
I did get some of your cinnamon rolls and they were delightful.
Good. And Shelley complained that you ate all the granola. But anywho.
I'm just saying.
I ain't saying nothing. So yeah, it's a struggle for me. So things like this are important for me to hear. So I hope it's important for other people to hear. Yeah. Because, you know, we've talked about it before. A lot of people are like, yeah, I believe in God. I'm just going to do my own thing. Or, but, you know, I don't need to go to church.
Well, you grew up in a Christian home.
I did. I did.
How has this evolved for you over your lifetime of understanding?
I did grow up in a Christian home. I know my mom has spoken about this, how she faults herself or finds fault in herself for not.
Your mom finds fault in herself?
What? For not. I'm not going to use the right words. She not pushing, I guess. I went to church in this building most of my childhood, and I was involved in the youth group and things like that. And then it was because one of my close friends was here, and so a lot of other close friends were here, and his dad was the pastor, and da 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 da. And then they moved away, and we kind of stopped coming to church for a long time, and so. Looking, and I was baptized when I was in sixth grade and here, and there's a big hot tub in the middle over there. And I realize now, looking back at that, that I didn't have the relationship with God that I have now. And a lot of that, I'm sure a lot of it had to do with my age. I mean, I was a kid, but a lot of it, I think, had to do with the fact that I was focused more on my friendships that I had, you know, with my friends from school or whatever, than my friendships and relationships with them as other Christ followers. Mm. And coming back to church later in life, I mean, I don't want to say I ever fell away, because I didn't. I mean, I've always been a believer, but coming back to church later in life and forming those relationships, I would say for the first time, was kind of eye-opening to me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changed my perspective on what it means to be a Christ follower and not just some, you know, I'm going to do it on my own type thing. Because I went to school, this isn't the Stacey show, I went to college at a Catholic college. Mm-hmm. And I saw all these girls around me, you know, going to mass this day and this
so
day.
So you were surrounded with religion.
I was, but it all felt very, I kind of like brushed it all off at the time because it didn't feel right to me. I'm not bashing the Catholics, but you know.
But you were Protestant at a Catholic school.
Correct. Yeah. I was definitely in the minority, and all of my friends there were very Catholic. And so they would go to mass regularly, or they would pray to Saint so-and-so for this, or they would do things on certain days. And it just didn't click with me. And so I think I might have pushed it away a little more, or kind of, I don't know, disassociated myself with it a little more. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, after I graduated college and I moved back to this area and whatever, I think coming back to church as an adult and making the decision that I am going to not only continue to follow Christ, but to build relationships within the church, that was new for me. But I will tell you that it has strengthened my faith tenfold.
Required some intentionality on your part.
Absolutely. And it still does. It still does. It's something that I still struggle with, because my default is to close in on myself. Mm. And especially when I'm struggling. And I will say that I have met some people here.
I didn't know you ever struggled.
No, I have met some people here who simply won't allow me to do that. Yeah. And maybe I feel in the moment that just leave me alone, or I just want to, but that's exactly what is needed.
It's a pesty kind of.
But that's exactly what is needed. And I've realized over time that that's what it's all about. And I hope and pray that I can somehow return that to not only the existing relationships I have here, but to others who might be struggling with that, or struggling to find their place within the church, or not, you know, have misconceptions about what the church is. I think for the first time in my life in the several years that we've been coming here, it's the first time that I have felt like this is what a church body should be. You know, even my mom, when we initially came here, we stayed because we'd gone to some other, we'd gone to United Methodist for like trying out different churches. And again, I'm not calling anyone out, but you go into a place sometimes and it feels very clicky. Mm-hmm. And you feel like there's this group here and it's very high school. And you know, you can never really feel like you belong. Mm-hmm. And we never felt that here. It was always, you know, there's so many different types of people here from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different stages of life. And yet I've felt strong connections with people from the start, and people want to get in your business in the best way possible. Like not in a, you know, nosy kind of, yeah, we're talking about you behind your back way, but in a, hey, we're family.
It's an inconvenient sort of
life. It is. And it's, I think as a society, it's not what we're used to.
No.
So it can be kind of shell shocking at first, but it's also, you're like, wow, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing as Christ followers. Yeah. So,
and it's important.
Sorry, I took up a lot of time.
No, I think that's exactly what we need to be discussing. And I think it's important for us to point out that not in any way suggesting that this is the only church.
No, not at all. This is just my personal experience.
But as we're going through it, you know, unfortunately, far too often, and I think more so in the consumer Christian culture we have, where we approach church the way we approach, you know, paying a movie theater or mm-hmm. shopping or anything else, you know, we go and we get what we want to get. And if we don't get what we want to get, we're going to be out. We're
right.
just going to go someplace else. And so then the human tendency toward, you mentioned the cliquishness that's natural for us. Mm-hmm. We divide ourselves into little tribes and so on. And there's a certain element of that that's not only natural, but not unhealthy. For we're going to have right. certain people we connect
well,
with.
Well, I see. I think like,
but I'm, there I'm, is that tendency to then put up walls around it. So
right.
it's just, you know, it's us four, no more, shut the door.
Right. Kind of
thing. So, you know, then, you know, like you mentioned high school, it's that, you know, or Mean Girls kind of right. an idea.
The jocks and the nerds and the whatever. Yeah.
And, you know, and, you know, I was just having this conversation with Gabriel the other day, my son, that's really easy for, and Gabe's about as social and gregarious as you're going to get. That's why he's our deacon of welcome and safety. But
that's terrifying.
But, you know, who's better in charge of the greeters than the guy who greets everybody all the time anyway?
Right.
And we've got some really dynamic, welcoming type people who are just natural that way. Well, I say naturally. I don't know if it's natural to personality. Sometimes it is, or if it's the gifting of the Holy Spirit. I think mm-hmm. that's the case a lot of the time. But you look at, you know, Wayne and Evelyn and Chuck and Fran mm-hmm. and people that just, hey, Gary and Adrian too. You know, you see there's somebody I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't met them before. You're just right there saying,
right.
hey, how can we make you feel at home
right.
and just wanting people to feel loved and welcome.
And meanwhile, you pointed out to me this last Sunday before the service started that somebody I knew from high school was there for the first time at church. And you're like, if you want to go say hi. And
you had a panic attack.
I had a panic attack. And Rachel,
I was kidding, but I know
and Rachel was sitting by me. She goes, go. And I was like, no. And she like forced me to go. And you know, I needed to do that. That was the right thing to do. And so I did, but you know, it's still a struggle for me to do that.
Right.
So,
yeah. It's funny, people don't realize I'm in that same situation as an introvert. It's work,
yeah.
you know, for me to go outside of that comfort zone, that normal thing. And I think that's a universal statement. It's always work for anybody to go outside of your comfort zone, but certain people have different comfort zones. You know, some folks are just naturally gregarious and are energized by those relationships, and others it doesn't come as naturally to me. And, you know, I always say I'm an introvert, but I got beat a lot. So I learned how to do that. But I'm kidding. Don't send emails about that. So mother, if you're listening, you know, which she's probably not because she's hard at work right now.
Well, there you go. Oh, that's
but,
right.
she's got kids and probably feeding the peacocks. And
oh, she's not
else.
At the,
so,
at the,
not today.
At the barrel today.
But anyway, as we're, you know, looking at that dynamic, there is something about the relationships. And even looking back to your youth, you were really connected at the church because of those friendships. And then when the friendship dynamic changes, then the church dynamic changes. That, that was a hard thing. So now when you guys stopped coming after Radley's moved on, was there a particular reason? Was it conscious? Were you aware of that or just kind of slid away?
We stayed for a little while and a new pastor came and a new family and everything. And I think it's just because it felt different. The vibes were off. Yeah. And so we just kind of, we came for a while and then we would just kind of slowly fade out. And then,
I suspect that's much more common than what most of us realize, that people get tied to a pastor or tied to a family or tied to a friend, or even a get tied to, if I can borrow from Taylor Swift, an era. You know, we have a period where it feels a particular thing. You know, we get
you say era?
Sometimes, and sometimes I say era.
Okay. So
it depends on, much of my pronunciation depends on my mood at the time.
Okay. Now you're in an era mood.
And often it changes in the middle of a sentence.
Gotcha. Just confirming.
Futile and futile. You may
I say futile all the time because it reminds me of Star Trek.
I will say futile until I realize somebody might think I'm talking about the feudal economy of the Middle Ages. And so
nobody thinks you're talking about it.
It's because all the guys out there are thinking of the Roman Empire.
So, oh, golly.
Anyway, as we're looking through the vibe, it can change just in a period. So like when we started 20 years ago, very missional, just organically missional because it was a new work that was starting with primarily unchurched people. Mm-hmm. And everything we did, you know, we didn't have a building. So, you know, it's set up and tear down and all that kind of stuff every week. And there was always that natural vibe of intentional,
grassroots,
let me say, missionality. Right?
Yeah.
So that was the approach to it. And then over time, you grow more established. And it's not that you don't have the same values, but you don't, to borrow your word, you don't have the same vibe. It doesn't feel the same. And so some folks then will lose their momentum because that feels different. And so when we're looking at relationships in the church, I think it's worth noting that there is, and you mentioned this as you were talking earlier, there's something unique about the church family dynamic as opposed to just our friendships in general, you know? And so you mentioned, you know, focusing perhaps more on your, you know, friendships, friends at school, and so on and so forth. What do you see as the difference between that focus for you and what you discovered later on in developing church relationships?
Oh,
how did that feel? What do you, and I'm not, I guess I'm not looking for some, you know, doctoral thesis on it, but what's your feel on that? What's your take?
I guess it in a way, it feels more concrete, more lasting, more. I've had wonderful friendships in my life, and some have faded away. Some are still there. Some only exist today through social media, and we never see each other. And you know, whatever, it's fine. the relationships that I've formed with other Christ followers, other members of the church body that I'm in, I guess the best way to describe the difference is you have friendships, and then literally the relationships I've formed here feels like a family. And that might sound cliche and cheesy, but it does, because you know, your friends can tell you, hey, you're being stupid, or hey, I'm here for you, or hey, whatever. But there seems to be more of a depth when you are either going through something with your church family, or you're celebrating, or you know, whatever stage of life you're in, it seems to be deeper. And for, you know, I'm going to call out Heidi here, because she regularly will text me at, you know, sometimes
we've been throwing out a lot of names.
I know. Sorry.
No, that's cool.
Regularly text me at 5:36 in the morning and just be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you.
It's fun that you guys are both up at 5:30.
Yeah, like weirdos. You know, but that, it's so simple, but to know that and to know that somebody is consciously in that moment praying for you or talking to God about you, whoa. Mm-hmm. And that to me signifies a depth of a relationship that you don't always get with just your kind of worldly friendships.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess that's the big difference is, and there's a comfort this is something that I've had to learn too, to open up. You feel like you can open up without fear of judgment. Mm. At least I think you should be able to do that with your church family. And I've had that experience is that you can, whether you're celebrating something or you're falling apart, you can open up without judgment. Now you can be told, hey, this is what you got to do. This is what you shouldn't do. I say all the time that years ago you told me something, I won't name names here, but you said, you know, you have to forgive this person, but don't be stupid. Mm. And I think about that a lot all the time now. And if one of my friends told me, hey, don't be stupid, I probably just wouldn't.
If Shania Twain said it, you know, then
I always listen to Shania. But, you know, that kind of redirection or that kind of advice coming from, I know where you're coming from. I know where your heart is. I know where your mind is. And understanding things like that from a church family and from a Christ following perspective, I know I can trust it. Mm. I know I can trust you. I know I can trust other members of my family here. Mm. And that, I guess that the word I keep coming back to is just so much deeper than anything that I can think of with a lot of the friendships I've experienced in life. So,
You know, anyway, as you say that, there is a difference, right? And you know, you think of all of our friendships when you're in elementary school, what does it take to be friends? You get assigned to sit together on the bus, or, you know, you're in the same class or whatever. And as we get older, our friendships form around different things. So we group differently. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that we, you know, lose those other friends. We just have different, interests and so on and so forth. And I think of the number of people growing up that I thought of as my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year I had a different best friend and then another, you know, and it's not that we still were friends, just not the same way and the same thing. But when we're talking about our union with Christ and our union in Christ, that we are one church. And I think it's important just to make sure that everybody who is listening, all three of you,
they're all in France.
Might, just so we don't get confused, when we're talking about the church, we're talking about something bigger than an organization or a building or all the different colloquial ways we use the term. Not that those are wrong or inaccurate or inappropriate, but in the fullest sense, when we're talking about the church, there are two principles that we see in the scriptures in the New Testament. And the two primary ways that we see that used, it is used in these other ways, but in the two primary ways that it's used is the universal body of all believers, what's called in the Apostles' Creed, the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church. And so when we look at this universality of it, there is a bond that you and I share with believers in Russia that we've never met, that, you know, we could meet them, not know them, not have anything in common with them, including a language, and have a preformed bond that is given to us in Christ. And we will spend eternity worshiping him together.
You know, it's funny you say something like, because even if I'm like at, someone's mowing the lawn, even if I'm at like Target or something, and I hear somebody say something about Jesus or say, you know, have a blessed day or something, I feel, I might not even talk to that person, but I feel a connection with them.
Yep.
And I don't know what their
mom was talking about that at Cracker Barrel.
Beliefs are really, but
like she'll see somebody come in wearing a cross. And she's like, hey, I appreciate your statement of faith. And you can tell the people that are just wearing it as jewelry and not thinking about it. And the people that are like, yeah, all right. Yeah. And so you have this connection right. through Jesus. That is, on the one hand, it's simply emotional and affective.
Sure.
Affective, but on the other hand, it's deeper. There's mm-hmm. there's an eternal spiritual connection that's part and parcel of that. So, you know, I think that's a very significant thing for us to recognize, is that spiritual bond that we have in Christ with all believers. The second way that it's primarily used in the New Testament is the local church. And that's actually more common. It's more commonly used in terms of the local congregation than the universal church. It's used within that context. The individual believer and a group of individual believers makes up that local context, and a group of local context makes up the mm-hmm. you know, eventually the global church, but within the region or whatever else. So when we're talking about the whole is made up of the parts. In the same way, Christ talks about the body, that we are, you know, members of one body, and we each belong to one another. That was from our memory verse in Romans 12:5. The reason that particular verse stuck for our memory verse this week is that concept of not only are we members of this one body, but he points out we belong to one another in this. And I think that's the thing that I guess that's why family is my favorite picture of all the metaphors used in the scripture. And I think body and family are very close. They overlap so much in the way Paul uses them, the way they're portrayed. The bride of Christ is a little bit different. It shows his passion for his church and his devotion, how he lays himself down for his church. But when we see the unity of believers, we come back to those illustrations of family and body. And one of the things that I think makes it different than regular friendships, first and foremost, is that foundation of spiritual connection to Christ. Mm-hmm. And we can't really be members of the church, members of the body of Christ, even if we have an official membership
right.
in a church. We've gone through the classes and the rituals and the, you know, all that kind of stuff that people do in various traditions. We can be on paper a member of a church, but we're not actually a member of the body of the church. Unless we actually belong to Christ. And when we belong to Christ, then we belong to one another. But it starts with the foundation of believing that we talked about in last week's sermon, and at least we thought about in the podcast we didn't do, that God gives real life to those who believe and embrace the truth about Jesus Christ. The gospel is the foundation. And Paul in Romans talks about that not everybody who is of Hebrew descent is a child of Abraham. Right. Those who are Abraham's seed are his seed according to the promise, according to faith. And in the same way, not everybody who is a member of the visible church, the audio looks great with the air quotes, but you know,
pause.
nicely played. As we are, as we're considering the visible church, lots of people, most of America still considers themselves Christian. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? That's right. This undefined nebulous spirituality that means I'm not Hindu, I'm not atheist, I'm not Muslim, and so therefore I'm Christian in some loose nominal form. But that's not what makes us a member of Christ's body. It's the faith in him, that union with him that unites us to one another. And so when we look at that, and I'm sure I'm going to run out of time here, so we'll just let this spill over in the video, and I'll apologize in advance to those who are left behind on the audio. But you can flip over to YouTube or Facebook and check it out. But as we're looking at it, it's that the real life is in faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. He is our life, but we experience that life by God's design in the context of the church, and specifically in the context of the local church, which we can talk about more in a moment if you want to close this out for the audience.
I will close that out just so we have a place to stop. Thank you guys for listening. And yeah, if you want to keep on listening, check out our streams on YouTube or Facebook.